often using duped or bought persons holding a position of respectability, bearing idealistic titles and professing laudable purposes, to dissolve or outlaw this conspiracy would make it more difficult for the underground conspirators to organize their fronts. It would not drive them underground by choice and historic intent and ruthless practice. It is already and has always been underground. Their dupes number many thousands. We do not hesitate to pass laws against other crime in America. Why should we hesitate to outlaw communism when it is the most evil and dangerous criminal conspiracy we have ever confronted? Conspiring not only to rob, slander, and murder as ordinary criminals do, but to corrupt and undermine the government of the United States and the state of Illinois, your land and mine, and ultimately to make it subservient to and a part of the red gangster empire of Soviet Russia, the most ruthless gangster nation that civilized world has ever seen. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, April the 27th, just last Thursday or Friday, told Congress the Communist Party reduced to 43,000 fanatics. Now remember this, the chief investigator also tells you that for each communist fanatic, there is 10 others who will do their work for them. That means we would have roughly 430,000 potential spies in this country. Has prepared an underground apparatus more dangerous to the security of the United States than any subversive organization in American history. The commies would like to get rid of the chief investigator. The commies wanted General MacArthur out of the way. I consider J. Edgar Hoover and General MacArthur two of the most important and needed men in the interest of American security today. GIs in Korea are being murdered by those who have been helped by people in this country who are members of or who have given service to the Communist Party. They are giving aid and comfort to the enemy in time of war, which constitutes treason. There is no place in America for disloyalty. For American traitors who have given aid to spies, there is no place in America for those who defend the disloyal communist traitors, who in turn give aid to the foreign spies, who in turn are waiting for the word from the Kremlin to destroy our country. I doubt if there is anyone who would be so naive in the face of over 60,000 casualties in Korea, and looks like there'd be 60,000 more, and maybe many times that more, fighting the same thing that we have here in the United States. I doubt if there'd be anyone so naive to even indicate that there is not a clear and present danger. Thank you.
Mr. Timekeeper, if you can give me an estimate of the overage, we'll add that to the negative team. First speaker. How much? That much? Well, we'll hear from the first speaker for the negative and decide on the extra time later. Dean Spaulding. Dean Willard Spaulding will be the first speaker for the negative.
Chairman, members of the opposition, ladies and gentlemen. Like Senator Broyles, I'm not accustomed to these formal debates, and I hope that I can stick within my time limit, but if I can't, I will use the same privilege which he did and finish what I have to say anyway. My colleagues and I are deeply grateful to the veterans of this community for providing an opportunity to its citizens to become familiar with both sides of one of the great issues of our time. It's heartening indeed that we live in the kind of community and the kind of country where issues of this type can be discussed freely and the public can come to a decision and respect it. Senate Bill 102 is a very curious document. Undoubtedly, its introducers and its present supporters are legitimately concerned that the American way of life be maintained, strengthened, and improved. Undoubtedly, they wish to free our state and our country from the influence of foreign agents, whatever their origin, who have constructed the Communist Party as both a tool for their evil purposes and a disguise in which to conceal their true identity. But Senate Bill 102 has little relation to these high purposes. Where it should strengthen our republic, it weakens it. Where it attempts to prevent subversion, it is itself subversive. Where it seeks to foster Americanism, it is itself un-American. As one who is opposed to the passage of Senate Bill 102, I concur with its sponsors in their desire to maintain and improve the way of life which has brought material prosperity, political freedom, and world leadership to our great nation. Like them, I decry the way of life in which the communist agents of a foreign nation are attempting to bore into the agencies which influence both our political and economic life. Like them also, I have taken an oath of office when I accepted employment by the state of Illinois as a professor. I am concerned, however, lest the enactment of legislation such as Senate Bill 102 will destroy those things which we cherish and give aid and succor to those which we oppose. I turn first to my charge that this bill weakens our republic rather than strengthens it. The threat to our national security is very real. The totalitarianism of Russian communism is on the march. In 1940, one out of every 12 persons in the world was under communist domination or control. Today, a little more than 10 years later, one out of every 3 persons is under communist domination or control. And we need to think seriously about what this means. The Western nations, whose way of life is threatened most by the growth of communism, have only 1/4 of the world's population. 1/3 of it is now under communist domination and control. We are at a 4-3 disadvantage. The struggle will be long, but it will not be won by arms alone. We need to have both arms and allies. We must secure the cooperative friendship of the uncommitted peoples of the world. The threat to our national security cannot be removed except as the peoples of the Middle East, of Southeast Asia, and Africa become our active allies. They constitute about 5/12 of the world's population. If Russia takes them over, then communism holds a 3-1 population advantage. If they join our way of life, then we have a 2-1 population advantage. But it's more than people who count. We don't make steel without manganese. And outside of the Soviet Union, manganese can be found only in sufficient quantities in Africa and Southeast Asia. Southeast Asia supplies natural rubber, which is needed in many of our manufacturing enterprises. There are great oil reserves in the Middle East. And if the peoples of these countries are persuaded to go with totalitarian communism, the resources of these countries are lost to the free world. So we must win friends and influence people if we're to have the population advantage on the one hand and the continued advantage of natural resources on the other. Winning friends in the long run is done with great and challenging ideals like freedom, justice, truth, and honor. Enactment of measures like Senate Bill 102 does not help win people to great ideals. It brings to these people ideas which are far too familiar to them already. Those who live in Argentina know what it means to have a government control thought until newspapers like La Prensa are closed because they criticize the government. People in Spain know what it means to be denied the right to speak, or write as they think. People in the once free country of Czechoslovakia know what it means to lose freedom, to be forced to take oaths of loyalty, and to be subjected to investigation and accusation at the whim of a single official of the government. These people know the meaning of the government by men rather than by law. And what are we going to offer them? Are we going to offer them more of the same? Are we going to offer them restriction, restraint, investigation, labeling? Or are we going to offer them one of the great ideals upon which this nation was founded? Freedom. Freedom to speak. Freedom to think. Freedom to write. Freedom to assemble. Senate Bill 102 offers the very familiar controls of totalitarianism. It repels those whose friendship we need. It tells them that we are becoming like the communists and like the fascists whom we claim to oppose. Now, it's at this point that I would like to take up my second reason for opposing the passage of Senate Bill 102, namely that it is subversive. There are many principles upon which a government as complex as that of the United States or as the state of Illinois are based. And it's not easy to separate one principle from the other, nor to look at them individually. But because of the shortness of time, we're forced to do that. Perhaps the most basic principle underlying this great republic is that of personal liberty. It was so important that the framers of the Declaration placed it before independence when they said that the people are and of the right ought to be free and independent. Freedom is a very subtle thing. It's so easy to say that a particular restriction doesn't really destroy freedom, but only helps men to live together better and to maintain government reasonably. Then the next step to restrict freedom is defended for the same reason. And so on and on until, without knowing it, our freedom is gone. Mr. Justice Rutledge, not known as one of our liberal Supreme Court justices, discussed this problem in one of his opinions when he said, "The case confronts us again with a duty our system places on the court to say where the individual's freedom ends and the state's power begins. Choice on that border, now as always delicate, is perhaps more so, where the usual presumption supporting legislation is balanced by the preferred place given in our scheme to the great, the indispensable democratic freedom secured by the First Amendment. That priority gives these liberties a sanctity and a sanction not permitting dubious intrusion. And it is the character of the right, not of the limitation, which determines what standard governs the choice. Freedom is indeed indivisible. Attempts to limit it eventually lead to its destruction. Attempts to take away any part of it eventually lead to the disappearance of all of it." This was recognized recently by the Appellate Court of California in its decision on the loyalty oath requirement at the University of California. This court said, quote, "While this court is mindful of the fact that the action of the regents was at the outset motivated by a desire to protect the university from the influence of subversive elements dedicated to the overthrow of our constitutional government and the abolition of our civil liberties," the decision went on, "we are also keenly aware that equal to the danger of subversion from without by means of force and violence is the danger of subversion from within by the gradual whittling away and the resulting disintegration of the very pillars of our freedom." Now, it may be argued that this bill does not restrict personal liberty, but is justified because it protects the country and the state. Mr. Justice Stone, in discussing this matter in one of his famous opinions, wrote, "The guarantees of civil liberty are but guarantees of freedom of the human mind and spirit, and of reasonable freedom and opportunity to express them. History teaches us that there have been but few infringements of personal liberty by the state which have not been justified as they are here, in the name of righteousness and the public good, and few which have not been directed as they are now at politically helpless minorities. The framers were not unaware that under the system which they created, most governmental curtailments of personal liberty would have the support of a legislative judgment that the public interest would be better served by its curtailment than by its constitutional protection. The Constitution may well elicit expressions of loyalty to it and to the government which it created, but it does not command such expressions or otherwise give any indication that compulsory expressions of loyalty play any such part in our scheme of government as to override the constitutional protection of freedom of speech and religion. End of the quotation from Justice Stone. Two more reasons for opposing Senate Bill 102 are that it is both inefficient and un-American. Anyone who is even slightly acquainted with communism knows that the communist has no faith in God. And as he has no faith in anything except that which his masters in Moscow have revealed to him. Perjury and giving false testimony mean nothing to him, as Senator Broyles so ably stated. He is quite willing to swear to a lie, to take an oath that he is not a communist, or to do any other act required by government if it is necessary in order to get into positions where he can further the evil purposes of his masters. Section 11 of this act provides that, and I read from it, every person in every board, commission, council, department, court, or other agency of the state of Illinois, or any political subdivision thereof, who or which appoints or employs or supervises in any manner the appointment or employment of public officials or employees, shall establish by rules, regulations, or otherwise, procedures designed to ascertain before any person, including teachers and other employees of any public education institution in the state, is appointed or employed, that he is not a subversive person, and that there are no reasonable grounds to believe such persons are subversive persons. In the event such reasonable grounds exist, he shall not be appointed or employed.